Hello, I'm Diana Mason, Editor-in-Chief of the American Journal of Nursing. I'm doing this podcast on the occasion of the launch of our new web platform for ajnonline.com, our website. We hope that you'll visit the website frequently and look for new features that will unfold over the coming year. Each month, I'll be doing a podcast of highlights of the current issue of the journal, and this month, we're talking about the November 2008 issue. This month's cover depicts an injured woman waiting for evacuation from a high school in Galveston, Texas, the day after Hurricane Ike made landfall. The University of Texas Medical Branch, based in Galveston, used buses, ambulances, and aircraft to take more than 400 patients to safety. We chose this photo to highlight our article on the impact of events scale, a tool that can uncover residual effects of traumatic events on elderly patients, such as after hurricanes. The article points out that the tool is not diagnostic for post-traumatic stress disorder, but can help clinicians identify people who are struggling in the aftermath of traumatic events. This article is part of our series called How to Try This, and, as with all articles in the series, is accompanied by a video showing how to use the tool. The video is available online for free at www.nursingcenter.com/AJN older adults. All videos in the series are available at this website as well as at AJNonline.com. Another How to Try This article this month focuses on screening for alcohol use or misuse among older adults. Now, you might be asking, why should I bother older adults with screening for alcohol use? They're in the last phases of their life and they ought to be able to do whatever they want, wear purple, drink as much as they want, etc. Well, clinicians need to think about alcohol and medication interactions, as well as the fact that excessive drinking increases the risk of falls and accidents and complicates medical conditions that are common to older adults. This article focuses on the geriatric version of the Short Michigan Alcoholism Screening Test. It's comprised of only 10 questions that can be answered with a yes or no. So it really is a quick and easy tool that clinicians, nurses can use in any setting. Continuing education contact hours are available for both of the How to Try This articles. They're also available for our third feature article, which focuses on lead poisoning in women and children. This is the second part of a two-part article that began in the October issue by discussing the epidemiology, pathophysiology, symptomatology, and sources of lead poisoning. The second part reviews the screening of pregnant women and children for high blood levels, as well as discusses treatment options, such as chelation therapy. The article notes that chelation is not a cure for lead poisoning and will not reverse neurological damage that has already occurred. Each month in the journal, we also feature a viewpoint for timely, provocative commentaries. The November viewpoint focuses on the tragedy of human trafficking. It's written by public health nurse and journalist Barbara Glickstein and notes that nurses working in the emergency department or primary care, as well as almost all settings, healthcare settings, may encounter somebody who has been trafficked. I was stunned to learn that 15,000 to 50,000 people are trafficked into the United States every year. Barbara Glickstein writes that help can begin with us, with nurses who must learn to recognize victims and how to assist them. Two columns this month show us that if you give nurses a little power, they'll improve care. First, in our practice innovations column, nurses in Watertown, South Dakota reduced the time to admit a patient from 90 to 15 minutes by making admission a team process on a designated admission unit. And in our series on Transforming Care at the Bedside, or TCAB, the nurses on White 10, a general medical unit at Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston, took over from the interns the job of presenting patients during morning rounds. And guess what? They did a better job. It resulted in physicians receiving more accurate information about patients and nurses having greater access to necessary patient information. But it wasn't easy, and author Amanda Stefancic, manager of White 10, describes how she and the nursing staff undertook trying out and evaluating this idea for change. Our Diabetes Under Control column addresses whether tight glycemic control can actually increase the risk of death among people with type 2 diabetes. Column coordinator and diabetes nurse practitioner Jane Seeley discusses the long-anticipated results of the ACCORD trial, which had been halted 17 months earlier than planned. The goal of the study was to reduce the rate of cardiovascular events in patients with type 2 diabetes, so many clinicians were shocked to find out that the group receiving the intensive management had a 22% higher mortality rate than the control group. In October, new Medicare regulations were implemented that will negate payment for certain hospital-acquired conditions, leaving healthcare facilities under pressure to prove that certain conditions, like pressure ulcers, aren't the facility's fault. In this month's WoundWise column, the coordinator, Leah Van Ryswick, and nurse Courtney Leiter answer clinicians' questions about pressure ulcers and documenting their presence on admission. This month, we also include a number of other regular features in the journal. A poem in The Art of Nursing that's titled Psychiatry Grand Rounds. We also have a narrative for our reflections column about the first hour of author Marie Lassiter's shift as a nurse and her thoughts about how the institution allocates its resources. You won't want to miss reading this reflections column. We also, this month, announce the recipient of the annual AJN Beatrice Renfield Caring for the Caregiver Award. The award has been given to Jean and Rick Edelman for their philanthropic support of nursing at the Inova Health System. We also have lots of news about nursing and healthcare, as we do every month, and the Drug Watch column that we feature each month, and this month discusses the proposed FDA revisions to pregnancy information in drug labeling. There's other information and artwork that are intended to raise readers' awareness about the breadth of nursing's perspectives on the profession, health, and healthcare. So we hope you'll read what's in this month's issue of AJN and let us know your thoughts about what you've read. So until next month, I'm Diana Mason for the American Journal of Nursing.